And good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. My name is Les Schulte. I'm filling in for David Inge this morning. And with us during the first hour of Focus 580 is a good friend who stops around about once a month to talk about home repair and what you can do to make your home, hopefully, a better place to live in. I should also mention that coming up in hour number two, we're going to be talking eye care with Dr. James Farron, optometrist at Carl Clinic. So if you have some questions about eye care, get those ready, and we'll talk about that in the 11 o'clock hour. But right now, Hank Spies from Spies Home Inspection Service is joining us again this morning. And Hank, thanks for being here.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Yeah. And Hank, it's hot out.
Yes, it certainly is.
There is no two ways about it. It's.
I think we're going to be really pushing the electrical bills this time because of the amount of time we're running air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of those things that people ought to be more aware of is the fact that we have doubled the efficiency of air conditioners in the last 10 years. So if you have an air conditioner that's 10 years or more old, probably the most economical thing you can do with it is throw it away.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thought. If you have a question for Hank this morning about home repair and maybe what you can do to make your home a little more efficient, give us a call. The number to call is 333-455 or 800-222-9455. And so get those calls in if you have a question for Hank. And because we were just talking about, efficiency and about what we can do to make our homes a little more energy efficient. And I was saying that my air conditioning unit is probably about 10 years old. And I was thinking, I probably got another good 10 years of life in that thing.
Well, the air conditioners are rated these days according to the SEER, Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio. And what that actually is the number of BTUs of cooling per watt of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And anything more than 10 years old probably is about an SEER of 6, maybe even a little less than that. Today, the worst that we are allowed to manufacture is a 13.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
So that we quite are literally are doubling the output mm-hmm. per watt of electricity.
Mm-hmm. I had mentioned one of the questions that my air conditioning guy had said to me at one time was that I had inefficient piping to the compressor size to run my central AC effectively, and I kind of nodded and said, "Okay." But what exactly does that mean?
Well, I'm not quite sure what he meant, but it could have been the electrical hookup and the conduits and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It also could well be the fact that the refrigerant lines weren't insulated between the compressor outdoors and the indoor units.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we can lose some efficiency on that basis.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be talking to him again real soon. I see we have a caller on line one from Effingham, so let's go to that call. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Morning. I have a crawl space question. I was underneath my crawl space the other day, and I noticed that there was some white powdery stuff on the blocks, the cement blocks that make up the foundation, and I noticed a little bit on some of the beams that were going across the floor. And so I'm concerned. What should I do? What should I be looking for? Should I be worried?
Well, the white powdery stuff on the foundation is what we call efflorescence. Basically, it is with moisture soaking through the concrete block, and as it does so, it picks up a little bit of the calcium and magnesium salts in the block and in the mortar, and then when it comes inside and evaporates, it leaves these salts behind. And so that is not really a problem. Now, I'm a little concerned about the fact that you have something white showing up on the beams. Were you talking about wood beams here?
Yes.
Okay. Does your crawl space have a plastic cover over the ground?
Yes, it does. It has a vapor barrier, and I didn't find any rips or tears in it anywhere.
Okay,
and I have no standing water, and I have a good sump pump.
Well, the fact that you need a sump pump means that we aren't getting the surface water away from the foundation, and that, of course, is what is contributing to the white powder that is showing up on the foundation walls. It's one of those things where Sump pump is a good cure for a condition, but I would rather spend my money keeping the water out rather than pumping it out. I don't want to let it in there in the first place. And this is usually a matter of grading on the outside.
So you think I should focus my efforts on trying to put tiling around the outside of the house?
Well, not necessarily tiling, just sloping the dirt. We're supposed to have, according to the assorted building codes, 6 inches of foundation showing between the bottom of the siding and the dirt. And then
I have more than that now.
Okay. And then there is supposed to be 6 inches of slope in the first 10 feet away from the foundation so that water that runs off the roof or overflowing gutters or whatever runs away rather than back toward the foundation.
Okay. Now, I have gutters extending out. I have a sidewalk that goes around my house, and I have gutters extending over the sidewalk, and the water is moving away from the sidewalk.
Okay. That's good. That's good. The white on the wood beams, are these beams at all soft when you take a screwdriver or something or other and punch at them? Does it go in easily?
I haven't done that, but they look for, they don't appear soft. I mean, there's not an overwhelming amount.
Yeah.
And
I think it sounds like you're still in pretty good shape. The fact that you have some efflorescence indicates that certainly not all the water is getting away. But sounds like you're in pretty good shape yet.
Is there anything I should look for to be concerned about when you're looking at your crawl space? Like any type of mold or any coloring?
If mold is considered to be a problem, particularly the black molds that go on there. But basically what we're looking for is any sign of water. And the fact that you don't have any water showing and so on is pretty good. It's interesting, you said you have the plastic vapor barrier down there, and water under the vapor barrier doesn't hurt anything. We one time owned a house where you could open the hatch to the crawl space and look down, and the plastic was dusty. But you wanted to be darn sure before you jumped in whether there was any water under the plastic, because sometimes it was 6 inches. And it never caused a problem because it was under the plastic. So as long as we've got that dry surface in there, we're in good shape.
All right, great. All right, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. If you have a call or a question for Hank Spies this morning from Spies Home Inspection Service, call 333-9455. If you're outside the 217 area code, you can call toll-free at 800-222-9455. Hank, with the hot weather and summer upon us now, are there any new materials out there, any new building practices that people maybe should be aware of if you're thinking of building a house or remodeling a home?
Well, certainly the utility prices have gotten high enough that we want to be sure we get the insulation up to standard. And in the summertime, one of the major things is the amount of insulation we have in the ceiling. And we really want an R value of at minimum 30, preferably R40 in the ceiling. And many old houses were built with 6 inches of insulation, which is only about an R19. So if you have something that thin, the appropriate thing to do is get up there and have somebody blow another 6 or 8 inches over the top of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to get some ventilation in the attic so that the heat doesn't just build up. We get either continuous ridge vent or some button vents and vents in the bottoms of the overhang, because we can let heat out, but there's got to be some air replacing it. So generally speaking, this comes in around the edges, usually perforations in the soffits, the bottom of the overhang. And so we have to keep that open. And when you're adding insulation, you have to be careful that we don't put so much insulation around the edges that the air can't get through. We have to install what we call air chutes to allow the air from the soffit into the attic, mm-hmm. so that we can keep it circulating and keep the attic cool.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go back to the phones. Line one, we have a call from Champaign-Urbana. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hi, good. A friend notes, could you discuss sump pumps when the taps in the house run a long time? pump starts, but they all connect to one very old pipe that goes out towards the street. And the pump turns on occasionally when it rains, but
well,
in the garden once there was some clean water. So far it's been clean coming out of a pipe. Now, is that a mistake? Shouldn't all of that go into a tank, which goes directly to the street and not the garden?
Well, it all depends. You could go to the garden. It is, as long as we are not talking about sanitary sewage now. You see, water from a tub or a lavatory or something like that should go to the sanitary sewer in the street.
Mm-hmm.
If we are using some other source of water that may be clean water, there's no reason why it can't go out to the garden or something of that sort to conserve water.
Mm-hmm.
But the sump pump, generally speaking, should not be hooked to the sanitary sewer. It should go out into the lawn, garden, whatever, somewhere where the water will continue to go away from the house.
Mm-hmm. Gross.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go to line two. We have a call from Champaign. Good morning, line two. You're on the air.
Am I the
You are.
One?
Yes, you are. Good morning.
All right. I want to ask Hank about the new, I guess it's new, ceramic acrylic paints. What I understand is that they do tend to prevent heat, body heat, from going through cement block walls. I live in a bi-level, and so I'm concerned about...
Well, the paint is not really a very good insulator from that standpoint. One of the things that we can do is get something that's highly reflective. There are now a number of polished insulations available that reflect the heat back to you rather than out the wall. However, we ran into an interesting problem with those. It seems as though cell phones don't work well in an area that's been insulated with reflective insulation because the radio waves for the cell phones bounce off as well.
So, no kidding. I would have never thought of that.
This new paint is called a ceramic paint, and it was recommended. I'm trying to think where I heard that, but we have painted our lower level walls with that, and it's
keeping them nice and dry.
Well, my walls are always dry.
Okay.
Except, you know, you do have to run a
dehumidifier.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I think that it may be helping some because it is a shiny paint.
Yes.
And it reflects a certain amount of heat. I don't know whether I would be use it purely from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just used it on the cement block walls, the interior wall.
Right. No, that's fine. And it certainly isn't hurting anything. It's helping some. I'm not sure that it's helping as much as the manufacturer would like to have you believe.
Well, we'll find out.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Let's go to line three. We have a call from Champaign, and good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hello, thank you. We seem to have developed a problem with our electricity in a part of our house where it appears where several outlets and overhead light have gone out, almost like an entire circuit going out, but no breaker has tripped or anything like that. So I was planning on calling an electrician, but I heard you on the phone and thought I'd call and see what you had to say.
Well, there very well may be a poor connection someplace, and
okay.
That is a job for an electrician unless you really know what you're doing. But definitely it is possible to get poor connections either in the main circuit box or in some one of the connections in the circuit itself. We oftentimes run into the fact that someone has put two wires under one screw, and they do not clamp equally tight. And so one of them may be loose a bit, and we've run into that opening up a circuit box. And I don't advise anyone who doesn't know what they're doing to open a circuit box, but we have and go in there, and we can actually grab a hold of a wire and pull it out.
Sure.
Because it's not being clamped tightly, and that's about what it sounds like you're running into.
Right. Let me ask you this. Can any of your switches, the light switches, go bad and cause the same problem?
Yes. Yes, it's possible.
So it could be maybe replacing the switch might be another option.
That might be another, or even tightening the screws that hold the wire to the switch.
Hold the wire to the switch. Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Hank.
Sure thing. Okay. Thanks for your call. If you have a question for Hank Spies from Spies Home Inspection Service, give us a call this morning on Focus 580. Our number is 333-9455 or toll-free 800-222-9455. Let's go to line one. We have a call from Urbana. And good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hello. My question is about wiring.
Mm-hmm.
And on a recent TV program, it was said that if you have old knob and tube wiring, you shouldn't put insulation over that. Now, I have knob and tube wiring because my house was built in 1926, and I do have knob and tube wiring in the attic because it goes to lights in the ceiling of the second floor, and I have insulation over those knob and tube wiring things.
Okay.
So do I need to have that rewired?
Well, what size fuse do you have on that circuit?
I don't know. There's a fuse box in the basement.
Okay. Any knob and tube wiring should never be fused at more than 15 amps. You never want to put a 20-amp fuse on a knob and tube circuit. Now, it is possible that, I know that we generally recommend that we do not blow insulation over knob and tube wiring, but I don't know that I've ever seen it create a problem where it was not overfused. And again, it's a matter of connections. Are the junctions to that in boxes? I doubt very much that they are. So there could be a safety hazard there, but a 15-amp fuse, generally speaking, will protect you pretty well. Certainly, I wouldn't add insulation over knob and tube. I would rather replace it first. But would I go through and dig it all out at this point? Probably not.
Okay, so if it's a 15-amp fuse,
Yeah.
If it's a 20-amp fuse,
replace it with a 15.
Okay, now there's a big box in the basement with the switches.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another little thing in the stairway that goes down the basement where there's a couple of fuses in there, and I don't know if they work or not.
I don't know either. In all probability, that was from when the house was originally wired.
Right.
And my guess is it's been bypassed to the new one.
Uh-huh.
And I would think that probably you ought to have an electrician check it. But
okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to our toll-free line. We have a call from Lafayette. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hello.
Hi.
Last time on the program, it was your son who mentioned something about Tyvek placed over the loose insulation in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be for?
That's to eliminate convection within the insulation. Actually, that was what Tyvek was originally invented to do, is if we had a thick layer of insulation up there and we didn't want any air movement through the insulation. So that's what it's doing, is eliminating the air movement through the insulation.
It just improves the efficacy then of the...
Right.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks a lot. We have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to get in and talk to Hank, you can this morning. Our numbers are 333-9455, and outside the 217 area code, the number to call is 800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phones, and line number one, we have a call from Champaign. And you have a question for Hank?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask about the new energy reducing bulbs. My fixtures say only put 40-watt bulbs in there. I notice that these bulbs are like 60 to or 100-watt bulbs. Can you use the 60-watt bulbs in them?
Okay, it depends on what is on there. Generally speaking, the manufacturer often rates it in terms of light output, that they are putting out as much light as an ordinary 60-watt bulb, but may only be taking 15 or 18 watts.
Okay.
And those are certainly permissible.
Are the 100 watts okay for?
Generally speaking, the ones that they rate at 100 watts are drawing less than 50.
Okay. Now, daylight or regular? For a reading light, which do I want?
That's a matter of personal preference as much as anything else. I personally prefer daylight bulbs. My wife likes the in.
Okay, half and half. Okay. Now, can they hang down as well as up?
Yes.
Either direction.
Right.
I thank you very kindly.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our toll-free line. We have a call from Bourbonnais. Line two. I'm sorry. Let's go to line two first. And from Bourbonnais. Okay.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Good, thanks. How about yourself?
Sure. I'm great. And you have a call or a question for Hank?
Yeah. It's a series of questions about my crawl space. I moved in here in the fall. It's an old house built in 73. It's got a walk-in crawl space. And there's about a yard of gravel path, and then there's a little retaining wall that's like knee high, and then the dirt builds up after that till at the far end you have to, you know, squat down to move at all in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some moisture. It's got cinder block walls on the outside and poured concrete on the inside walls. And I have a dehumidifier running there 24/7. I've had various opinions about what to do to make it dry, and I would like to use it for storage space as well. I am in contact with a service that cleans out all the dirt, lays down a concrete floor in there, which I think would be what I would like the most. But I've had different opinions about how cool that is.
Well, I think it's fine. It's rather expensive. Generally speaking, you control the moisture with a sheet of 4 or 6 mil plastic as well as you can concrete.
Well, I've got that plastic now. And
okay.
I think if I didn't have that dehumidifier going, it would be pretty damp in there.
Well, that plastic should turn up along the foundation about 6 inches.
And then what? Tape it to the wall or something?
Yeah. Tape it to the wall will do fine. Or even if it curls back, it isn't hurting anything because any moisture that comes through will be sure to go under it rather than on top of it.
Okay. Well, I like the idea of the concrete floor. As I said, I'd also like to get the storage out of it. But there's nothing wrong with this kind of service, or?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just more expensive than most people are willing to do. It all depends, you know, if you, concrete's kind of hard in the knees if you actually have to crawl around down there.
Well, I wouldn't have to crawl so much if they put the concrete down, because that would, I assume they're going to take all the dirt out.
Well, I don't know that that's the case. You want to be sure that they don't take it out right next to the foundation, because we need to have the dirt there to support the original footings.
Really?
Yes.
How far in should it be?
Oh, say 3 feet.
So you're saying 3 feet from the wall is dirt, and then you can put concrete?
Yeah. That would be fine, because otherwise that will give you the support for the original footings, which don't go as deep as a normal basement would.
Really? That sounds kind of bizarre to me.
I assure you, I get into them continually, whereby in some cases where they have pulled in and dug in a basement but left a 2 or 3 foot wide retaining wall around that to support the original foundation.
Really? Okay. I mean, it's just such news to me that I'm kind of taken aback at that.
Generally speaking, you see your crawl space foundation is probably about 40 inches deep. If you don't have some lateral support on it, if you dig below that, if you don't have lateral support, it can cave off.
Wow.
So
the concrete isn't better support than the dirt?
Well, I'm assuming that we're talking about a relatively thin layer of concrete on the floor. Now, concrete walls are something else again.
Yeah.
But again, we're talking about 6 inches of concrete.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you. Also,
oh, sure.
The rafters have, basic fiberglass insulation in them.
Yeah.
Between the rafters, and then there's plastic over that. And there are absolutely two schools of thought on whether that's correct or not. One school says that's fine, maybe cut some slits into it. The other school says no, it should be rafters and floor, plastic, and then insulation.
Well, we're talking about in the attic now?
Or no, we're talking about in the crawl space.
In the crawl space. Okay. You should have the plastic down, then the insulation. Actually, I'm not quite sure why. I'm not quite sure why on earth they would do this. Generally speaking, we do not want plastic on the cold side of the insulation. So if the you would want it on top, but if you've got plastic down under the insulation, I don't see there'd be any problem with that.
No, it's over the insulation. As you're looking up, you see plastic. Then
you have insulation in the floor.
No, it's in the ceiling of the crawl space.
In the ceiling, okay.
Floor of the main floor of the house.
Right, okay. In that case, you should not be able to come and see plastic. The plastic should be against the bottom of the flooring and the insulation below it.
Okay, so as you look up, you see insulation, plastic, floor.
Right.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure okay. thing. Thanks for the call.
Okay, all right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You're listening to Focus 580. It's 10:33 this morning. My name is Les Schulte. I'm filling in for David Inge. And if you have a question for Hank Spies from Spies Home Inspection, give us a call at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Let's go to line 3 and a call from Champaign. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hello. I have a question regarding adding insulation in walls. There's a small amount of insulation in the wall, and I wanted to add foam insulation to finish filling the wall cavity. However, I am very sensitive to any kind of outgassing. I know older foam insulation had that problem. Would the newer materials be okay?
Yes, I think most of them would be the water-based foams rather than the formaldehyde-based foams.
Okay.
Should be all right. And I'm not sure how well it's going to fill because we already have this one hunk of insulation in there. We got to push it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have some holidays in your new insulation because it isn't moving out of the way or whatever.
Okay.
But otherwise, yes, if you get the new water-based foam, should be fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to line 1. We have a call from Champaign. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about guttering. We had an addition put on the house,
mm-hmm.
and when the guttering was put on, well, to make a long story really short, the water when it rains comes down between the guttering and the fascia. It's supposed to go in the guttering and go out.
That's right. There's supposed to be a drip edge installed along the edge of the roof. It goes under the shingles, under the edge of the underlayment and shingles, and comes into the top of the gutter.
Evidently it was neglected to be put in.
And that's the only way you're going to stop it.
Okay.
And you definitely need to do that.
What is that? Is that like a metal piece that goes?
Yes.
That slides underneath there and comes out far enough that the water goes down into the guttering.
Right. It should slide under not only the shingle, but under the underlayment that's under the shingle.
Okay.
It's the standard Type D drip edge.
Well, it sounds like that could be quite a project, couldn't it?
Well, I'm afraid
the gutter is already installed.
The gutter will have to come off in order to do that.
That's what I thought.
Ouch.
Okay.
But whoever put the gutter on was not particularly competent.
Yeah, it wasn't right, was it?
No.
Okay, Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Boy, I wish we had better news for her, but I guess they're going to have to take their guttering all off. We had a call on line two, but it looks like maybe we answered their question. So all our lines are open right now. If you have a question for Hank Spies from Spies Home Inspection, you can give us a call. Our local number is 333-9455. If you're outside the 217 area code, call 800-222-9455. Well, I'll ask you one of my personal questions then that I had from, okay. If I was outside, this would be a question that I would be calling in. And I live in a two-story house, again, in the summertime, I could have perhaps maybe as much as a 10 or 15 degree difference from the upstairs to the downstairs in trying to cool the house. Mm-hmm. Is that uncommon? And what can you do to try and balance that off?
Basically, whoever put in the system should have put in some balancing dampers that let you direct the air to one floor or the other. And in the summertime, we want to direct most of the cool air to the second floor because it's going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
But in the wintertime, we want the warm air on the first floor because it's going to rise.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be some dampers in your system that allow you to do that balancing, and you should have a winter setting and a summer setting.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can usually just mark with a
sure.
magic marker or something or other. And if those balancing dampers aren't there, a good sheet metal man can put them in. But you need to look and see whether you have a little metal handle sticking out of the bottom of a gutter or out of the ductwork someplace. When it is parallel to the duct, it is wide open. When it's crossways to the duct, it's closed down. And yes, we can improve comfort very significantly by balancing winter and summer settings.
Sounds good. I'll go check that.
Okay.
Let's go to our toll-free line. We have a call from Chicago. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Hello.
Hi.
Enjoy your show very much. And we have an old Craftsman house in the Chicagoland suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and we have three layers of roof, so eventually we want to take those layers off. And is there anything that's somewhat affordable in solar shingles or panels that you could put on a new roof that won't damage the roof?
I haven't found any that were economically justifiable yet.
Okay.
We're working on it, but so far the costs on solar panels seem to be greater than the amount they'd save.
Even with the tax deductions and
incentives? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much so. Basically, it's a matter of keeping the things clean enough, you know, so that we can get the sunlight through to the solar panels. And the manufacturing cost just isn't down yet. It certainly, the subsidies help and so on, but so far I've been trying to build some houses of this type, and so far I haven't been able to get the economic justification for it.
Where's the entry-level cost, ignoring tax deductions?
Well, you have to figure, much depends. I don't know what the solar component is in your particular area. I don't know how much smoke you have, smog, et cetera. That would be pretty much a local thing. Where I'm working at is in Colorado, where we don't seem to have much of anything. We're at a higher altitude and we get more sunlight because we're closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not yet found in any of the technical publications that I get anything that would really justify financially.
Mm-hmm.
Morally, yes.
Yeah.
But financially, so far I haven't found any that can be justified.
How about hot water heaters? Are they worth it? Or are they
yes. Now, that is a definite possibility. You can put a small solar unit that will heat a thing. And, yes, we have done a few of those here in Champaign, and they have seemed to work pretty well. It's a matter of heating the tank and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that I think we can justify. But in terms of the solar output, in trying to generate electricity with solar panels and so on,
mm-hmm.
That hasn't been working.
Okay. Well,
all right.
And where would you point me to about the hot water heater?
Let's see, if you will give your address to our engineer here, I will try and forward something to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. And if you are outside our 217 area code, you can call us toll-free, 800-222-9455, or locally, 333-9455. We have about 15 minutes left here with Hank this morning. Let's go to line one, Urbana. You're on the air with Hank Spies. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling about a stopped-up underground conduit. About 10 years ago, we had it had water in the basement, and so we had a whole system put in underground to take the water from the gutters and the downspout, and then, you know, channels out to the main section. Mm-hmm. And so we realized that we were having a lot of overflow from our gutters that are at the end of a small roof over a small porch, and we couldn't figure out why that was coming over because it wasn't such a heavy rain. Well, then my husband detached the downspout from the rubber thing that goes into the ground and realized that that was completely clogged with leaves. Mm-hmm. And so, as I think it has to be, that has to be a connector to go to the main thing that goes out to the street.
Right.
Now, what can we do about that problem? And how do we know if it's water, if it's leaf infested the whole way or just in that section between the downspout?
You'll have to run a plumber snake in it and something like that. Any of the people that do that type of thing, schoonovers here in Champaign, I've used them for cleaning out those things. But they have a water jet system for blowing all that stuff out. And then, by all means, I would suggest some leaf covers for the gutters.
Well, we've talked about leaf covers, but because of the overflow, I wasn't thinking that that was a good thing until we got this channel and
You need to get that cleaned out first.
Yes.
But any of the sewer cleaners could be able to handle that.
Okay, and you find that the leaf covers are functionally good.
There's a little difference between them, but yes, they can work quite well. There's a tremendous difference in price by a factor of three or four.
Yes.
And I'm not convinced that the higher priced ones are that much better than the others.
Well, my neighbor has leaf covers, and fortunately I don't know the brand, but she was getting the little maple seed pods stuck in there. And I said, well, I thought you weren't supposed to have any problem with that. But they were at the valleys. They were getting stuck in her system. Now, is that a common thing?
Yes, that's why some of the better systems don't have these little holes. They are designed like a bad pitcher spout. In other words, we have a solid cover over the gutter, and it goes such that water comes back into the front of the gutter.
In under.
Right. But the leaves go on past.
I see. And does that work?
Seems to work quite well.
Because we have lots of leaves, and we have several maple trees, and we're just beset by these seed pods.
Yes, I'm aware of the problem. I have them, too.
Well, thank you. We'll get our first problem dealt with, and then we'll decide about the second. And this is Hank Spies, right?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be your son, and I thought, my goodness, your son sounds just like you do.
my son took over this program, however, I managed to goof up his schedule, so I had to come back and fill in for
him. Well, I'm sure either one is very able. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for your call this morning. Let's go to line two, another call from Urbana. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I just tuned in earlier, and I was going to ask a couple. I had two questions for you. One of them covered, I moved into my house in the wintertime, and above my bedroom, I noticed there was a little bit of black spotting in the ceiling, and over the course of the winter, this black spotting tended to grow a lot more and more, and I wasn't sure if that was mold or what the deal was with the attic or the insulation, and just had a question on that, because my wife actually ran over with some bleach and some, like, the, you know, basically to get rid of the mold, if it was mold, and it disappeared. But I can still see, like, traces of it underneath the skin of the paint.
Okay, it probably was mold, and usually this means that somehow or other the insulation has been pulled back in that area so that we have a cold spot.
Okay.
And that will show as a matter of, you'll have to go up in the attic and check, but I would think you'll probably find that somebody in doing something pulled the insulation back in this area.
Okay, and also the second question I had was, over the winter I noticed that when I was outside looking at my roof, I would see one side of the house would have a sheet of ice, and on another side of the roof it would be completely no ice at all.
Well, it depends on orientation. It depends whether the sun melted it off or not. So that's mostly a solar problem.
Okay, so it had nothing to do with, like, the actual roofing itself?
No, that wouldn't have anything to do with that. But as I say, when you stick your head up in the attic and find out whether the insulation is pretty evenly distributed, usually we get what we call insulation shadowing, which is the dark spots that appear on the ceiling. Means the insulation is missing in that particular area.
So would that corner actually be damaged now? Would I have to do any replacing for that?
No.
No,
it shouldn't be actually damaged. It should be, but to keep it from happening, you'd have to get some more insulation out over it.
Okay, excellent. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for your call. Let's
all right,
go, sure, let's go to line three. We have a call from Champaign. Good morning. You're on the air with
Hank
Spies.
Thank you. I have termites near my house, but not in my house. It's on in a tree stump. What can I do myself to try and get rid of them?
There are the various pest control operations in town.
Right.
Have some chemicals that you can use, but basically we're interested in, there's two ways of handling it. You can either poison the soil and effectively provide a barrier between the termites and your house.
Right.
Or we can put in a system that encourages the termites to eat some wood stakes that we've put in, and then we substitute a stake that contains a chemical that they carry back to their nest and kills them off.
Ah, I can buy that and not go to a service?
I'm not sure whether you can buy those stakes separately or not. I know that there are two or three different brands on the market, and different pest control operators use different brands.
Right.
One of the more common ones is Centricon. And that seems to be one of the ones that's been around longest. And as I say, they drive stakes into the ground in plastic sheath. You pull it out. When the termite hits that one, you replace it with one that has the chemical that they can take back and will kill off the whole colony.
What about poisoning the soil? Can I do that myself and buy something?
Yes. Unfortunately, we can no longer use the one that was most effective. The EPA doesn't like it.
Oh.
But there are some soil treatment chemicals that you can buy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. It's about 10:49. We have about 5-6 minutes left with Hank. If you have a call, you can give us a call at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Let's go to line one, and we have a question from Urbana. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank.
Good morning. I have a building, and really old building, and twice now I've had to have Schoonover come over and route out the sewer line. I won't describe the awful problem that preceded this, but somebody told me that putting copper sulfate down the drain, putting it in just as the leaves were coming out in the spring and just as they were dying back in the fall. So I'd like to know your opinion about this.
Well, I don't know that it should be effective leaves or not.
What it's supposed to do is stop the roots from growing.
That's correct. And you can add some copper sulfate. Generally speaking, you buy that at the farm supply stores because
right.
It's what we use to kill off algae in ponds.
Oh, okay.
And yes, you can throw it. Turns the water in the toilet blue.
I've done it, and now I otherwise I was going to do some preventative rotor rooting But you think this will take care of it?
It will certainly help. Whether it will really prevent it or not, I don't know. Because once the pipe is cracked so that roots can get in, rooting it really isn't going to be a solution either. So that one thing they can do, several of the companies, such as Schoonover, have cameras that they can feed down there and tell you where the thing is broken, which will tell you where it needs to be dug up and repaired.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to line four. We have a call from Mattoon. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
Good morning. I have, I don't know that it's really a problem, but it's something I'm curious about. Two switches in a summer place. It's open about 7 months out of the year. When you turn on those switches, there's several seconds of before the light comes on. It's on a back porch and another bathroom. And they always come on, but you just wait a while. I wonder if it would be the switch or it would be...
Probably.
Pardon?
It's probably the switch unless this doesn't have a fluorescent fixture or anything on it, does it?
Oh, I see. It's an old switch. They're really quite old.
Okay. What about the, what kind of light are you switching?
Oh, 60-watt bulb.
Okay. I would say it probably is in the switch.
Okay. Just replace it with a conventional on-off switch then.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to line two. We have a question from someone right here on the U of I campus. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank.
All right. Thank you very much. I live up in Rantoul. I'm just calling from campus. I have a curious question. We have an older home, ranch style, north part of Rantoul, that has a partial basement and a partial crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely irritating because there's all that space on the other side. There's a couple hatches that you use to get into that area, and it's still a pretty deep crawl space. It looks almost like it was backfilled. Is that typical for that area where they just say, well, we'll just fill in the rest of the basement with dirt and go from there, or what?
Generally speaking, the whole house was probably built originally on a crawl space, and the basement part was dug later.
Oh, really? Okay.
That happened particularly in old houses when they started putting in furnaces, because the old furnaces were gravity-type furnaces and had to be set low.
Yeah, this has got water heat, so they've got the pipes hanging down in the, you know, mm-hmm. the copper pipe hanging down in the basement.
Right.
And then running it. So I was thinking of, you know, maybe calling or contacting a service that could have that other part of that dug out. I know I would have to, if the foundation doesn't go all the way down, or the footing doesn't go all the way down.
You'll have to leave a ledge.
Have to leave a ledge of 6 inches of concrete or something. They would pour a retaining wall around that.
Right.
Okay.
And, yes, you can do that, I'm sure, but the question is the space worth what it would cost to do it?
Well, it's over two bedrooms, so it would add another, you know, probably 100, 200, 300 square feet per, you know. It's
but
expensive.
What are you going to do with that through 300 feet?
Well, storage, you know, it'd make the house a lot bigger. We've already got a bedroom downstairs, so I don't know. It may not be worth it. I'd have to get some estimates.
Well, remember, any time you put a bedroom below ground, you have to have suitable exit and windows and so on.
Correct, yeah. We'd have to put windows in and have exit windows and everything like that. Yeah, I know. I assume it's going to be a large expense, but it would sure add on some room to the house that's probably needed, but I don't know. We'll look into it.
It may be cheaper to put it on grade.
That's true as well. That's true as well. Well, thank you for your advice.
Great. Thanks for the call. We have time for about one more call, so let's go to line three in Arthur. Good morning. You're on the air with Hank Spies.
I had a metal venter edge in my house. And you could see light through it and feel air movement in the attic. And I had the roof replaced, and they put on a new type of vented ridge, which might be compared to a sponge or coarse steel wool or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see any light, and I don't know whether I'm getting an air movement. Did I get something not as good as my original?
Yes, you did. the original Venter Ridge was far superior. We've run wind tunnel tests on them, and the original Venter Ridge was much better than the type you're describing.
Do I need to replace what I've got?
Do you have a moisture problem in the attic?
Well, not particularly.
In that case, I wouldn't.
Okay.
If you have a moisture problem, the answer would be yes.
Yeah, can I still get the original?
Yes.
I can.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks very much for the call. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to the last call on line one, but we do appreciate them calling in, and write it down. We'll catch it the next time around.
Yeah, get the number, and I'll call them back.
There you go. There you go. Jason, get their number. Hank will give them a call back. Hank, as always, it's always a pleasure to have you here on Focus 580.
I've always enjoyed it.
And we know that our callers always appreciate it.